And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tiny little 15-minute package. I don't know how long the segment is. Just for you, welcome to our Fastest 15. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news today. So that Seattle police contract, when are they supposed to vote on that?
2 o'clock this afternoon.
This is going to be disastrous if the council opposes it.
It has not been easy any step of the way. And the police chief and the mayor have been saying, what they've already are dealing with people, officers leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And this is only going to lead to more officers leaving.
I mean, I have cops. I read a couple things on the show yesterday. They're telling me about a mass exodus. And a lot of them are saying, even if they approve the contract, there will be a mass exodus. There's a lot of cops, and they say, scores, who will get this higher salary, get retro pay, and then announce they're leaving. So,
I mean, I've heard from a lot of officers as well who say, morale is low.
Oh.
I'm extremely low.
Yeah. It's awful. So we'll keep you posted on that throughout the afternoon. So we have more people who are choosing to be childless than ever before. A lot of young people in their 20s and 30s have just made the decision to be childless, particularly here in Seattle. We're always battling with San Francisco as the most childless major city in the United States. And we also have the childless subsidizing parents in the workplace all the time. So here in Seattle, we have all of these parental leave policies. So both moms and dads can take weeks and weeks and weeks off. And their coworkers who choose to not have kids, they have to subsidize the coworkers who have kids. There is another issue along those lines that's going on here locally and around the country. This is good news, partly. The percentage of smokers in America is the lowest it's ever been. It's down to 13% of adults. And I can't believe that 13% still smoke. Knowing what we know about
it. I can't believe
it,
actually the number's that low anymore.
Oh, man.
I mean, a lot of people are doing the vaping thing, too, and they've just changed their mode of smoking.
Yeah, and vaping, I see, I had to go to a meeting in downtown Seattle yesterday, and there were so many people out vaping on the sidewalk, because you can't do it in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do it inside the building here, right?
Right.
Do some people do it?
I don't know. I don't know what you're alluding to. I don't think you're supposed to.
No, you're not supposed to. And we've worked with heavy cigarette smokers here.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, there was a time before our time, but there was a time when you could smoke in the newsroom, and many people would.
Isn't that amazing? When I started at King 5, there were the sports office was right next to an office that had a couple grizzled reporters. I'm not going to mention their names, but they would sit at their typewriter, banging out their stories, chain smoking, and it would waft into the sports office. It was awful. I remember going to the grocery store when I was a kid. People would be smoking in the grocery store, and they'd put out their butts on the tile floor at the the food town.
Right.
It's amazing. So anyway, a bunch of companies now have decided, or at least one company is at the vanguard of this. They are now going to offer an extra 6 days off to non-smokers because they say that's the equivalent that your smoking coworkers take in smoke breaks.
I love it.
See, I would never hire a smoker.
But you can't do that.
I would never hire a smoker.
How would you know?
I'd smell their breath.
A lot of times you
smell their clothes.
Can,
I'd look at their yellow fingers, their yellow teeth. You kidding me?
Some of our best employees
have
been smokers.
I have very good
some
friends.
Some of our most talented people have been smokers.
I have very good friends who are on that roster of people that you're talking about.
Yes.
They're very good friends. I'm just telling you, if I ran a company again,
and you
I would
can.
Never...
And you can as a company. That's something you can say.
Of
there
course.
Are many companies that say if you smoke, you can't work here.
Yeah.
Okay, or you at least have to go 14 hours a day without smoking.
Because I would never, I wouldn't tell them you can't smoke at home in your spare time.
Right.
But number one, the health care costs are going to be higher for smokers. And number two, the lost productivity if they're out taking their smoke breaks all the time. So no, I wouldn't. And that's not to disparage our many friends here who still, no, there aren't that many. There are a few.
There's a few.
There are a few who are good friends who do smoke. But no, I would say absolutely not. You can't. And I was always baffled. I'd be sitting putting the show together in the morning.
Okay, just to clarify, there are 29 states and the District of Columbia that prohibit discrimination based on legal activities outside the workplace, including smoking.
Is Washington one of them?
I need to look.
Don't know. But, and again, I wouldn't, if you want to smoke at home, go ahead. But I would, you know, when I had that basement office and there was that little patio where everybody would go to smoke, I would watch the same people 15 minutes an hour. I don't have 15 minutes a day spare. And it was unbelievable.
Pretty crazy. And it would be like almost like in concert. They would have like a little.
Yes.
They would have like a little sign to each other. Time to go out. And it would be like every 10 minutes.
So I'd love to know. do you like this? That companies are offering non-smoking workers extra 6 days off to offset the amount of time taken in smoke breaks. You know what I would do?
What is there any penalty for the smokers, though? I mean, because I don't want to penalize
less
the smokers.
Vacation.
Are the smokers getting less time?
No, yeah, they get the same as everybody else, but then everybody else gets a bonus 6 days. I would give the smokers and non-smokers the regular vacation, and I would dock 6 days from the smokers.
If I ran a business...
You're supposed to get a half an hour and 2:15s, right? So anything you take more than that should be taken from your hours.
When have you
right?
taken a half hour and any 15s?
Oh, none. Never.
Working on this show?
No, I don't.
Never. It doesn't exist.
That's not how this job works. Oh. But I mean, I don't know.
But there are other things that happen. You balance it out, exactly. Because otherwise that would be
right.
not legal.
Yeah. Right. But we balance it around here. Yeah. I'm a chatterbox. That's probably where my breaks go.
Yes, yeah, I'm not suggesting that the Dory Monson Show violates any Washington labor laws. I don't want anybody to get me wrong on that. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So, Channel 4, ComoNews.com, their reporter Matt Markovich has been doing a great job of tracking this couple in Lake City, Dennis and Kimmy. And when Channel 4 first talked to this couple, they had put these big concrete planters because they were trying to beautify the Lake City neighborhood. And they were going to have lots of plants and trees in these planters, just make it nicer and greener. And I know you should properly fertilize your plants and trees, but not by having humans pooping in the planter. And so Matt Markovich over at Channel 4, he went and talked to Dennis and Kimmy and asked them, because the city said, we got to rip out these planters because everybody's pooping in them. And he asked the couple that was the primary pooper plaintiffs, we're the plaintiffs, they're the defendants. I was just trying to be alliterative. If they knew why the pooper planters were being removed.
You know why they're removing the trees on the planter?
Yeah, because we've been sitting there. We've been camping out there.
Do you have any idea why they're moving you?
I know something about Bush presidency, about Iraqi war in Libya.
Yes, it's the Bush presidency and the Iraqi war in Libya. Obviously, she's a mentally ill woman. So a couple of weeks ago, Channel 4 did a follow-up, and miraculously, Dennis and Kimmy, the pooper couple, they moved to the front of the line and they were placed in an apartment that had a long waiting list that didn't allow couples, and they got moved to the front of the line. And everyone believes that the city violated the order that everybody was in to get an apartment, and they violated the only single people policy because they wanted to get the pooper couple out of visibility. Well, now there are allegations of domestic violence already in the apartment where the pooper couple was put to the front of the line. And Channel 4's the assistant city attorney, Andrew Lewis, in court said they have serious safety concerns.
Your Honor, the city has very real community safety concerns in this case. When the victim was contacted, officers noted that she was bleeding from her forehead.
And ComoNews.com also talked to the tenant council member who said these were supposed to be for only single people.
I didn't wish them to end up getting thrown out or getting arrested or all this, but I expected it.
But the woman, they say, she's, you know, she can't take care of herself.
Honestly, I don't think she is capable of caring for herself.
And the public defender for the man in the couple, Dennis's public defender, says if there's any domestic violence, she's as guilty of it as he is.
There is evidence that he has been the victim in this relationship before. Police have responded to this before, to this relationship before, and he's not always been. And in fact, as your Honor noted, he's been the victim in the past.
So this, and as ComoNews.com, as they illustrated, this is one of the challenges of trying to deal with this situation. But it's also just the folly of when you make decisions based on purely political purposes. And that is, they wanted to get these two out of sight because they were showing up on the TV news. And in doing so, they may have put both of them into a dangerous situation. They may have put the fellow tenants in a dangerous situation. They violated the rules of everybody waiting in line to get one of these apartments. And everything is being done for political purposes, for PR purposes, and very little is being done to try to help and change. And, I mean, you know, somebody like this woman, and, you know, I know the ACLU will come rushing in, but somebody like this should be involuntarily institutionalized. Listen again. Why they were taking out the planters.
You know why they're removing the trees on the planters?
Yeah, because we've been sitting there. We've been camping out there.
Do you have any idea why they're moving you?
I know something about Bush presidency, about Iraqi war, but yeah.
Come on, what favor are we doing her or society or anybody by saying, hey, just move into this apartment. Hey, we'll just have the taxpayers give you an apartment. We'll get you out of sight and out of mind. What are we doing here? Of course somebody like that needs serious mental health help. And we should be focusing on trying to help people with their addiction issues and their mental health issues. And any housing we ever provide should be absolutely contingent on continued addiction and mental health counseling. And until we make that a bedrock foundation of where we're spending all of our tax dollars, we are not going to do anything but make this problem incredibly worse. Next up in the Fastest 15, Channel 7 had a great story about all these underground heroin injection sites that have sprouted around here. As you know, the government wants to open heroin death sites in Seattle and King County where people can go to slowly kill themselves with heroin. But Cairo 7 had a story about all these underground consumption sites. Shiloh Jamma runs a needle exchange in the U District.
And they asked me to keep my to leave my cell phone at home and to disconnect any GPS I had in my car.
And they said that the Cairo couldn't find any of these sites by the time they did the story last night. But the people they talked to said, yeah, they're like speakeasies in the 20s. Everybody knows where they can go to shoot up, and we'll have the Narcan, we'll bring them back to life, we'll make being a heroin addict as easy and accessible in our region as any place in the country.
They're slowly developing their own culture and their own service, and, you know, it's a lot like the speakeasies of old.
And here's what these sites look like.
It almost reminded me of some trendy bar. And I almost called it like the Apple, it had that minimalist kind of style.
It felt like an Apple store?
Yeah, it had that little almost Apple store feel. And then we've had ones that were primarily focused on more low-income people. And what they had is they just had a piece of stainless steel that, like, was literally just fastened to a wooden table.
And there are volunteers who are helping people shoot up. And the problem that I have with all of this is, every addict that I've ever talked to who turned their life around said they had to hit rock bottom. They had to absolutely run out of any options. And here we want to, you know, if rock bottom's a zero and a clean, purposeful life is a 100, we let these people subsist at a 10. Where we tell them we won't arrest you, you won't go to jail, we won't hassle you if you have heroin, we will give you a place to shoot up, government will think about buying your heroin. We make it so that they never quite get to rock bottom, which is going to ensure that we have our streets absolutely flooded with heroin addicts. Finally, in the fastest 15. Okay, I want the lady's opinion on this one. A woman down in Texas, she, for her divorce, invited 40 friends to a divorce party, and then she set her wedding dress on a little mannequin and then surrounded the mannequin with a target that she was going to shoot with a rifle. And she packed the target with 20 pounds of Tannerite, an explosive. And so when she fired her gun, on the first shot, she hit the target. And the explosion could be felt and heard 15 miles away to blow up her wedding dress. So a bomb tech friend said, that's a lot of explosives. Is that a cool thing she did? That's my simple question for you.
I know a lot of people that have trashed their dresses in their divorce celebration for some reason. But I don't know. To each their own, I guess.
I give her A for creativity.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking that she could have done something, you know, donate that dress and then have a party.
I don't think I'd want the donated dress.
I know nothing about her husband. They say nothing about why she was so bitter.
Right.
I guarantee she was the problem in the relationship.
It could have been based on that.
Yes, based on the limited facts we have. Who would invite 40 people to a divorce party? How narcissistic.
That's one way to announce to all your friends. Everyone finds out at the same time and you go do something makes her feel good.
It's something good to do when you're going through something bad.
No, that's incredibly narcissistic. Come celebrate with me for my divorce. Look at me. You know those people on social media where everything's a big look at me? Nobody wants... And now I'm probably going to find out that the husband was some horrible thug after all of this.
Probably.
Okay, so I won't guarantee it. I say it's a 98% chance she was the problem in the relationship. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. Oh, have you heard the latest? CNN is suing the Trump White House over Jim Acosta's press pass being taken away. Only one problem. CNN's legal document that they filed to sue, it's as fake news as you could possibly get. Details straight ahead. One of the many media people that I really like is Dan Abrams, who's on Good Morning America. And he also has a great website. Mediaite is his. And Mediaite is probably slightly left of center, but they represent both viewpoints. He also has lawandcrime.com. And Dan Abrams does a lot of legal issues, both on network TV and certainly on his website. And my goodness, they have just come out. Because you heard earlier today, CNN filed a lawsuit against the White House. Because the White House took away Jim Acosta's press pass. And the White House fired back after that and said, they called the lawsuit more grandstanding from CNN. And it is interesting. You know, this was like the biggest story in the world last week. And now you hear very little about it. But now that the lawsuit's been filed, in a statement, the White House this afternoon said, "We've been advised that CNN has filed a complaint challenging the suspension of Jim Acosta's hard pass. This is just more grandstanding from CNN. We will vigorously defend against the lawsuit. Mr. Acosta is no more or less special than any other media outlet or reporter with respect to the First Amendment. After Mr. Acosta asked the president two questions, each of which the president answered, he physically refused to surrender a White House microphone to an intern so that other reporters might ask their questions." And then they say, "The White House cannot run an orderly and fair press conference when a reporter acts this way, which is neither appropriate nor professional." So that's the White House's response. But at DanAbramsLawandOrder.com, he has a story this afternoon headlined, CNN lawsuit's version of Jim Acosta incident is fake news. And it is a devastating takedown of what CNN claims happened in its lawsuit versus the reality of what happened. So I want to take you through this, since there's a time or story that everybody seemed to spend so much time and energy on a few days ago. So here's how it all started.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign.
Okay, right off the bat, he's not asking a question. I want to challenge you on one of the statements you made. So, you know, the opening words were not, I'm going to ask you a question like every other reporter in the room. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to debate you, which is not what a press conference is about.
In the midterms. That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up.
Okay, right there. As you know, Mr. President, this caravan is not an invasion. It's just a bunch of migrants moving up. So it's him speechifying.
From Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
Okay, so he finally gets to a question 27 seconds in. Why did you characterize it as an invasion?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that...
Okay, there's the answer to his question. Because I consider it an invasion. Now, let's go to the CNN lawsuit that they filed this afternoon. Acosta asked a question about one of President Trump's statements during the midterm campaign, namely whether a caravan making its way to the United States from Central America constitutes an invasion of the country, a significant feature of the president's messaging during the just-ended campaign. And as they say at lawandcrime.com, this is false. Acosta did not simply ask a question. He made a statement. I want to challenge you on one of your statements. He then cited Trump's characterization as an invasion. He proceeded to lecture the president by saying, as you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up. Finally, Acosta asked, why did you characterize it as such? Do you think you demonized immigrants in this election? Okay, according to the CNN lawsuit, the president declined to respond, instead remarking, you know, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. Okay, that is just an absolute, provable, flat-out lie. Because the president, as I just played for you, clearly answered Acosta's question.
Is it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonize...
Again, in the lawsuit, they claim that the president declined to answer the question. And so that's just one provable lie. Getting back to this law and order takedown of the lawsuit. It's nonsense that Trump didn't respond to Acosta. Trump simply said, I consider it an invasion. Regarding demonizing immigrants, Trump said, not at all. No, not at all. I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. Again, the audio proves that.
Demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep...
I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process.
I mean, he's even addressing them by his first name. I'm not demonizing immigrants. I want them to come in legally, but you know, Jim, they have to come in as part of the process. So again, he is answering everything Acosta asked.
I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you?
Okay, then Acosta interrupts the president of the United States in the middle of an answer. In the analysis of the lawsuit, Acosta then tried to interject, but Trump cut him off because he wasn't done responding. And then they... write what I was just playing for.
Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
But your campaign had an ad showing...
So Acosta's not even listening. I mean, you can tell. Acosta doesn't even hear what he has to say. So then, back to the lawsuit, when the intern tries to grab the microphone here. Oh, for crying out loud.
On the Russia investigation, are you concerned that... that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down?
This is a minute 50 into the exchange. He's asked several questions. He's gotten all those questions answered. He keeps interrupting the president, and then the intern tries to get the microphone.
On this investigation. Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working.
Okay, that's where Acosta initiated contact. And I have never said that he put his hands on the intern. I've never said that he physically assaulted her. He initiated physical contact. She tries twice with her right hand to grab the microphone, as she is being directed to do by the President of the United States. And then after he pulls it away from her twice, then she comes under his arm with her left hand, and that's when Acosta brings his arm down on hers. And again, here's what the CNN lawsuit says happened. A White House staffer then approached Acosta and attempted to grab the microphone. The staffer reached all the way across Acosta's body, successfully latched onto the microphone, and physically attempted to remove it from Acosta's right hand. Acosta held onto the microphone, stated, "Pardon me, ma'am," and continued to ask his question. Okay, again, from their analysis, the girl didn't reach across his body until she tried twice to just grab it out of his hand with her right hand. And he pulls it away from her. He twice jerked his arm away, keeping the microphone out of her reach. And then she went across to try to take it, and that's when he dropped his arm and initiated contact with her. And then, anyway, it goes on and on. As CNN disgustingly says in its lawsuit, this is lawandcrime.com. As CNN disgustingly said in its lawsuit, the intern latched onto the microphone, and they point out Acosta did not merely hold on to the microphone. He brought his arm down, making contact with the woman as she tried to maintain control of the microphone. When she did not let go, he looked straight at her before saying, "Pardon me, ma'am." So again, Acosta didn't, accost her. He didn't put his hands on her, but he initiated physical contact. The CNN lawsuit is as fake news as all the crap they broadcast on a regular basis on their network. And I'm sure that they will be peddling on all their evening talk shows. I'm sure they'll be peddling the fantasy version of what they've filed in court here. The wrap-up of this lawandcrime.com, Acosta acted inappropriately. I don't blame CNN for standing by their reporter, but this version of the story only supports Trump's claims that they are fake news. It is. It's absurd. But that's what we're dealing with this particular network. Absolute, pure, regular absurdity. Okay, lots more to come as the Dory Mott Show rolls out. I got a lot of other news that I got to get to here. Oh! A WSU professor crying racism. Wait till you hear why. Coming up next.
If you were red tonight,
for my money, the most beautiful of all the Beatles songs, red is the color that my baby wore. But did you know the color red is racist? According to a professor at Washington State University, he's put out a list of other colleges and universities that need to change their nickname. And one of the ones that he specified is McGill College in Montreal. Because the sports teams at McGill, they are the Red Men. And he says, that's like the Washington Redskins. You can't be calling your sports teams the Red Men here in 2018. Now, there is just one problem with this. The college up in Montreal, the nickname has nothing to do with Native Americans or Native Canadians, I guess it would be. Look, I got caught in a political correctness trap right there. Well, North Americans, Native North Americans. The name Redmond came about, according to a university historian, as a reference to the university's dominant color, because their earliest teams in hockey and any other sport would wear red helmets, red sweaters, and red trousers, as the Montreal Gazette put it in 1946. So, the athletes who competed for the university were known, since they wore all red, as Red Men. And then beyond that, the university, they said, look, not only are we named after the color, but as McGill University, we're named after an Irishman. And there is also some stuff in the university historical documents that say, since we're named after an Irish guy, a lot of Irish people have red hair. And so along with the universe, and they believe that's why they are wearing red helmets, red jerseys, red pants, because the Irishman who founded it, a lot of Irishmen had red hair. Now, I don't hear Irish people complaining about a college nickname. I mean, look, if they don't complain about Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, with that little pugilistic leprechaun that they have as their logo, I don't hear Irish people complaining about that. But this, again, this is the insanity to which we've descended. That a professor at Washington State University, with apparently no reference, no research, says that a college should change its nickname because the nickname is after the color red. Do harmonies get any better than Yes It Is?
I could be happy with you by my side if I could forget her. But it's my pride. Yes It Is. Yes It Is. Oh,
so anyway, please don't wear red tonight. Because that would make you a horrible racist.
This is what I said tonight. For red is the color.
Call me un-PC. I would let the red men keep their nickname. But I guess that's just me in this day and age. Big Lead 2 is coming up next.
Yes, it is. I.